This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:06 in the evening, and our first story today is something that we discussed briefly in Popek Popek Parliament earlier. The government is looking at trying to protect children from negative activities, and one idea that they mulled over and now have temporarily shelved was a curfew.
So the curfew proposal was agreed during a cabinet committee meeting last month to fight the drug problem here. But Dr. Wan Aziza, Women, Family and Community Development Minister, said it's unsuitable at the moment, though they might implement the curfew idea in several hotspots as a pilot project. So at the same time, she admitted that the lack of proper recreational infrastructure and spaces for youths could be one of the reasons that teenagers in impoverished areas gravitate towards vice.
So as many people have done before her, she went to Iceland as an example, yeah. Right? Because Iceland have done so well in this area. And she said that the curfew there was only successful because, and this is true, it was a small part of a greater strategy. So her ministry is planning to work with the Youth and Sports Ministry to provide recreational facilities. But she noted that the government shouldn't and cannot be expected to play babysitter as parents are responsible for their children. And as we heard earlier in Popek Popek Parliament, which if you missed, you can find on podcast, she also noted that part of it is weather, right?
Yeah.
That with in Iceland, perhaps, it's easier for children and people in general to be outdoors when, you know, you're not sweating your face off fundamentally. Whereas here in Malaysia, perhaps, it's more comfortable to be outdoors and to be kind of roaming around at night because it's cooler.
Actually, I'm not sure how much weather plays a role as a deterrent, because I think from some of the videos I've watched, you know, because they do have some volunteer parents going around town and urging kids to go back home, just encouraging them, hey, don't you think it's time to go back? So despite it being very cold, they are still sitting outside. So I don't think weather's actually a big no factor for them.
What I've noticed about Iceland, or at least based on what I've read and seen of the program that's being run there, is that in no small part it depends on the activities.
Yeah.
It comes down to, I think sports is hugely important. So it's great that they're working with the Ministry of Youth and Sports, because it is not just giving people somewhere to be, it's giving children something to do, right? Mm. And I think in Malaysia, safety is always going to be a concern. So in general, being outdoors isn't necessarily the answer to this.
And in addition to activity, right, I think the activities commonly take place in groups as well, because that's what they're trying to build, right? A sense of community.
Which is where sports comes
in.
Yeah,
sports. Yeah. If not sports, then other recreational activities like, you know, choirs or art clubs. So that's where I think they are also trying to look at, right? Because if you have groups of friends and you surround yourself around people you enjoy being around and they're a good influence for you, that's also going to lead to, you know, a lack of engagement in, you know, bad activities.
I feel like we're very far away from it, though, for the time being. Where we're at right now, and I'm just going to give an example, I suppose, even our libraries aren't the best stocked. And if you think about it, libraries are supposed to be places where you can go and
yeah.
you can sit with not just a book, but with access to the internet, with computers, with space in which to do things. But here, our libraries aren't really like that. So aside from creating new spaces, I think it's also a question of looking at the existing areas that we do have, community halls, libraries, places of that nature, and thinking about what could be done within those spaces as well to keep our children off the streets, basically.
And not to deviate from this topic, I think even as adults, we find it hard to find, maybe I'm not searching hard enough, but we find it hard to look for activities that we want to do beyond the, you know, going to the malls
yeah,
and going to some of the parks.
Yeah, I was going to say that don't cost money.
Yeah, that don't cost money, right? Mm. Because a lot of these activities that we want to sign up for, and I was doing a quick search for what kids can do, a lot of it costs money. You know, I think one way that Iceland gets around that, for example, in Reykjavik, they have this thing called a leisure card, where they give families about 1,700 ringgit per year per child to pay for recreational activities. And I think if they're serious in doing that, this is something they could look into as well.
If you've got any ideas on, I guess, the ways in which the Ministry of Women and Community Development, as well as the Ministry of Youth and Sport, could actually be working together in order to create these safe spaces for kids, let us know. Call us 7733 2900. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be speaking after this with S. Pasupathi, who's the director of My Skills Foundation. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
It's the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. We are speaking about something that came through from the Women, Family and Community Development Minister, Dr. Wan Azizah, who said that while the government may not go through with the whole idea of having night curfews, for children and teenagers, instead they're going to look into perhaps having proper recreational infrastructure. Do you agree with this, or do you think a curfew would do better? What ideas might you have for that kind of, what that recreation might look like? Call us and let us know, 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us as well at BFM Radio. In the meantime, we have on the line S. Pasupathi, Director of My Skills Foundation. Pasu, thanks for joining us. There's been a lot of talk about the lack of recreational facilities being a bigger part of this problem. What kind of facilities should be available and how would it help?
See, we got to go back to basics. You know, previously, if you look, I mean, those in the age of 40, 50s, you'll understand every town had one or two football fields where 20, 30 players will gather and play, and the whole community will come and gather and watch them play. Now we have virtually lost all the most of the football fields have gone because in the name of development. So if you ask me, I think bringing back football field is something that's not possible. It's not reality. So I would suggest maybe futsal, where 12 players, and I can play maybe basketball court, volleyball court, sepak takraw court, where you find many players playing, 10, 12 players playing. And I think in such, when you have restriction in space and all, even in the public housing areas and all that, government can create all these courts. I think so. It's also not it's not expensive compared to creating a football field and maintaining the football field. Constructing a futsal, basketball or volleyball, super takraw court is much cheaper. And I think these such facilities will definitely go more towards promoting a positive environment.
How are the existing facilities insufficient in providing safe areas for children?
I mean, definitely there's no, the recreational areas are limited. I would suggest also, but the school football fields and school facilities like badminton court and basketball court and all that should be open to public on Saturdays, Sundays for public to participate. So they should not just restricted to school use only, because we don't have such facilities. And I think where the facilities are there, and I think the community should be able to use, because end of the day, all those are government facilities. I think they should be able to, the public should be able to use. So in this way, we can increase the recreational facilities that are so limited now.
Is there any concern that these recreational facilities might also turn negative potentially?
If the recreational facilities are properly used, you don't have to fear that it'll be used for any negative activities, because people who come there to play football and all, they after some time, they will attain certain degree of discipline and have positive living style and all that. So if you see, we have seen, I've grown up in such an environment where even if you see somebody smoking, the seniors will deter them from smoking and all that. So I think definitely it will not create any negative activities, or it will not turn into a negative environment.
And what do you think about the possibility of a curfew being introduced in certain hotspots? What areas should be focused on?
Maybe if you're going to look at it, teenager students, then they definitely have to look at the school, the number of incidents and disciplinary problems in school, and also the area where there's a lot of criminal activities and all that. So most probably it will be like a city and urban area, like Klang Valley. If you take from Klang Valley, from Klang to Rawang, any lot of such hotspot area, then you take a major places like Ipoh, Penang, Johor Bahru, Masai, Sungai Petani. These are the areas where you find high incidents of crime, juvenile crime among students. So I think if at all they plan to introduce such a curfew system, I think this may be the hotspot. Most probably they may get selected.
So besides these two suggestions, right, one of having a curfew, the other of creating these recreational facilities, what else should be done to effectively ensure the safety of kids and prevent their involvement in quote-unquote negative activities?
Okay, if you ask me, we got to think out of the box. I see, instead of the school system, morning starting at 7:30 and ending at 1:10, I think we should extend the school's post-school session up to 6 p.m. So in that way, the children will be able to be in school. And instead of taking back the homework, they can do the homework and they can take part in activities like, just now I said, like futsal, basketball, volleyball, super takraw, and also classroom games like carom, chess, things like that they can carry out. And the teachers, of course, you need teachers to supervise. So you can have a few teachers who are in charge of extracurricular activities. They start work at 12 noon to like 7 p.m. So the children can be at 6 p.m. And I think the school should also provide lunch for the students. I mean, in Western countries, you see schools providing lunch. So I think the school, I mean, this is where the government come into play. So if the school provides lunch and the students stay until 6 p.m., and then by the time they go back 7:30, they'll be there. I mean, by the time they just be with their family and all that, there's no reason for them to go out and they go to sleep and they wake up next morning, they come back to school. So in this way, there are all the facilities available. Instead of creating new features like curfew and things like that, think out of the box, the existing system. And then I think it's not going to be cost prohibitive, you know, all this. So we use these facilities that's already available. And I think what the students need, space. We cannot deny them of space and they have got the freedom of movement. This should be the fundamental for a child's growth. I think if the child got space and freedom of movement, I think you can create a very healthy student population.
Dr. Wan Aziza has said that the government cannot be expected to play babysitter as parents are responsible for their offspring. How do we balance government legislation and parental responsibilities?
I think providing enabling environment for the community as a whole is a government's responsibility. I think you got to start from home. You know what the previous government, previously it's been done, when public housing areas, they feel 600 square feet is sufficient for a family of average of six, seven. And I think, first of all, they got to change the home environment from 600 square feet to 1,200 or 1,400 square feet. And also, government has got a responsibility to create enabling housing and environment. It means that the housing areas are there. It must create a friendly, friendly environment where the students, where the public can intermingle and can carry out a lot of activities. And it must promote multiculturalism and multiracialism. So if you look at current housing area, you'll find it's very racially orientated, and definitely the recreational schemes are very limited. What the community needs is open space. You know, previously under the National Land Code, when housing development takes place, they left certain areas open space. It means no development can be done. But now if you take a survey of Klang Valley, a lot of open spaces have gone into developments. So definitely the government has got more responsibility. And second, parenting, I think the government also through DPM's ministry should create more parenting courses for parents. You know, now with these internet, social media, and cyber cafes and all that, the parents need to understand their responsibilities and bringing out the children compared to 20, 30 years ago is so much different now. So I think it's a mixture of both government and parental responsibility. And if you ask me, the government got to play a more active role in creating such environment.
Pasu, thank you so much for that. That was S. Pasupathi, Director of My Skills Foundation, weighing in on creating recreational facilities for kids in order to essentially keep them out of trouble. This is a suggestion that's been put forth by the government fundamentally because, well, maybe the curfew isn't such a great idea. Let us know what you think, though. Do you think that it would be better to have a curfew for our children and our teenagers to kind of keep them from, I guess, roaming around at night fundamentally? Or would it be better to put those resources into creating spaces that are safe and productive for them to be in? And what would those spaces look like? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
So we have some messages here, one coming from Shamil that says that schools, we need to make schools more than just a learning place. Students should have more freedom to do their co-curricular activities, not just on Wednesday. My school before even forbid us from staying in the school compound after school hours. We ended up having to hang out at the mall after school.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, right? Like the the mall has become this go-to place that just ends up catching everybody because often you have nowhere else to be. It's relatively safe. It's air-conditioned. You can just kind of walk around. But it isn't always the best place to be. And again, when we're talking about night, right, malls close as well. And then what?
Yeah, and I think the problem there is also that it costs money. So where else are you supposed to go? We do have this huge mall culture here, unfortunately, and that seems to be what we like to build. I don't know how many malls we have in the in the works, but there's just too many. We just have too many malls.
And if we were to make school more than just a learning place, I think we would also have to consider the burden of that potentially on the people who would have to take care of the kids, right? The people who would have to be present for the activities to take place, the people who currently are already overworked in many cases. So it is a lot to consider. I agree, Shamil, absolutely, schools. But if that were to be put in place, we have so many other things to consider before making that effective as well. And then we've got this that's come through from LaPanda on WhatsApp saying there are already plenty of facilities available. Libraries, basketball, football, futsal, badminton, they're all there. The onus is on the parents to persuade their kids to use them. But parents are just lazy and don't care about the whereabouts of their kids.
Well, sometimes also I think it's the fact that these spaces aren't necessarily free to use. Like you either have to book them or you have to pay some sort of small fee to be in these centres, right? So yeah, I think that also boils down to Dr. Wan Aziza's point, which was that sometimes parents just don't have the time to take their kids to these places because they are working two jobs or more.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, that it's important to also look at which segment of society that we're talking about here. In many cases, as you rightly pointed out, and that's why Dr. Wan Aziza was also saying maybe a curfew won't work because the children in question or the teenagers in question might also be working a night job, which is why they're out, you know. So it's not a one-size-fits-all solution. And then we've got this that's come through. Curfews work if citizens are ethical and they know what is right and wrong, not for Malaysia who tak tahu malu. I think curfews work as... I'm not sure curfews only work when citizens are ethical because really curfews become rules, right? And then people just kind of police others.
You know, if we were actually super ethical, we wouldn't need the curfews in the first place, I guess.
And then we've got Ding who says, I think the government should also look into how parents act. As I've seen parents bringing their children, even infants, to hawker stalls and mamaks at 11 to 12 o'clock at night. I feel that this will encourage the kids when becoming teens to go out late because it's something they've done since young.
And we have a message here from Lydia who disagrees with Basu, who says that it's ultimately the upbringing of the children. I, for one, feel it's a complete waste of resources and time to keep school children in school after hours. The school is not conducive for rest and doing homework. When I was a student, I treasured my afternoon nap time. After that, I had good rest and better attention for my homework.
I agree with that, but once again, I think we are talking about households that may not have the most restful, conducive space.
Yeah.
I don't think all households, sadly, I don't believe all households in Malaysia are safe for children. And so I think it's about creating a space outside of school, potentially outside of home also, that could be a productive area, right? Up until you provide better social protection for these kids as well.
Yeah, and that boils down to a study we saw last year about PPRs to show that many kids in general just don't have recreational spaces because they share their homes with multi-generations, right, of their family members, and they don't have that space to play and to just relax.
Up next, we've got Lina on the line. Lina, good evening. Your thoughts?
Hi. Yes. And I think that to solve this issue, it has to be a collaboration between the government as well as the parents as well. If you look at overseas, what happens is after a certain time, you don't see children in the street. They are either at home asleep for the younger ones. The older ones, they'll be spending time at home with family. So we need to revisit our social fabric and see how else we can bring back this kind of environment.
Thank you for those thoughts, Lina. I think that point about collaboration is also what Pasu was saying, that it is not going to be a solution that only comes from one end.
Yeah, because essentially it does take a village to raise a child, isn't it?
Keep your thoughts coming. You can call us 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Do you think it's the government's responsibility to provide recreational spaces to keep kids off the street? Does it fall to the parents? What do you think? Let us know. In the meantime, we will be headed to the news and back to read those messages. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Building fit Malaysians. BFM 89.9.
It's the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin, and we're talking about a story that really has kind of developed. So earlier this year, there was some talk of maybe a curfew being instated to keep children out of trouble, basically. And since then, it's been shelved, but it may return as a pilot project, depending on certain areas in certain places. There has also been a development in the sense that now our DPM, Dr. Wan Aziza, has basically said perhaps what we're going to do instead is look at creating recreational spaces for kids, and that's in collaboration with the Ministry of Youth and Sports. So what we're asking you is, which one is it that you think would work better? Is it curfews, or is it going to be creating those sorts of safe spaces? And when it comes to those safe spaces, what should they look like? Because I think we had some feedback earlier that, well, they already exist. We already have basketball courts. We already have libraries. But I don't necessarily think that they are, in their current form, the most productive, the safest, or in fact, the most affordable.
And they're not always available in all areas. I think specifically this instance, I think perhaps what Dr. Wan Aziza is trying to target is those areas that perhaps where the communities live in more impoverished, they're more impoverished, right? They have families that and parents that maybe work 2, 3, 4 jobs just to support themselves.
So if you've got any thoughts, call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. There has been quite a few messages, actually. So Siti Haja on Twitter says, curfews didn't work for me when my parents imposed it, and I doubt it would work if imposed by the government. I would rather create a safe environment for kids to be curious, explore boundaries, test limits.
We have a message here from Raj who says that, How about issuing summons to parents of these kids? New revenues for government.
And I guess there, again, we aren't necessarily speaking to people who would be able to afford summons, I think. And that's important to note, that part of the reason why perhaps the parents are not as present as they might even want to be, really, is because of the pressures of trying to earn a living wage, fundamentally. So I'm not sure that summons is going to be the best way. Instead, I feel like you're going to be forcing people into financial dire straits.
And you might be making the problem much worse, right? Because then, to pay off these summons, do my kids have to work now to pay them off?
Zulfami says, if the government wants to create a playground for children, please talk to children, not adults, which don't understand the needs of the child.
And maybe even include like developmental psychologists in that picture as well.
Well, on that note, I mean, Wenhouse says, I'm all in for creating spaces productive for kids. In fact, I help steer the overall design philosophy for Titiwangsa Lake Gardens. In previous meetings with DBKL, I would urge our city council to have more adventurous play equipment with German and Scandinavian safety standards installed at the park to attract more kids and teenagers. But the suggestion was turned down because the city council wouldn't want to take the blame if something bad happened. And DBKL said Asian parents are too worried to put their kids onto, you know, 8-meter slides. That is almost 3 stories for context. And they refuse to consider the equipment, although it's accredited with European safety standards. So maybe we're being too protective over our kids as well. And kids, if you're listening, ask for better and more adventurous play equipment.
As a kid, I would have loved an 8-meter slide.
I can imagine. We've got Rama on the line. Rama, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, good evening. I would like to just reel your mind back into the early 60s.
Okay.
When I was a kid.
And what were things like back then?
I must tell you this. There was a playground, a playing field, football and whatnot, anywhere and everywhere you stayed in, especially in Kuala Lumpur. Now, this was done by the postal people, the railway people, and so on and so forth. And we never had to go too far away to go and find a playing field. That's one. Secondly, my point is, the people who are supposed to be organizing our urban standards and livings and everything have taken away these fields and put condominiums, and they have let themselves into greed and avarice and everything else for their own satisfaction, thus denying these playing fields and everything else. Next comes the point of curfews. To me, there is a thing called parental curfew. End of story. No government would like to come in and have a curfew to keep your kids at home. Come on, parents, wake up. It's your responsibility. Now I find parents are now being irresponsible. And then when they do that, they're talking about having curfews and making their life easier. How do you enforce this curfew? Is there a cop going to go around arresting your children and bringing them home, and then you're going to give them a tap on their wrist and that's it? That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Rama, before we let you go, I'm just curious. I mean, as you pointed out, a lot of those open spaces for children are now gone, right? They aren't very available. Even our existing green lungs, we're seeing encroachment happening. So if you were to reimagine what you had, right, back in the 60s into a 2019 space, what do you think that would look like?
Well, first of all, we have to modernize, because there are a lot of things that we used to play in a very simplistic way. It was rough and tough, and that's where we are good people now. Now, the other thing is, if you were talking about today, you look at differentiation in terms of futsal, indoor courts, and that sort of thing. So this has to be embedded into the town planning, city planning, whatever, what have you. Now, there's also little green lungs which can create jungle trails and whatnot. And there's this environment that you have to put together with the interest of keeping the younger generation healthy, happy, concerned about the environment. And, of course, the parents have to be very responsible. This is total irresponsibility of parents. When I've seen for myself, on a school day, the whole family is out in town having a meal and the parents are sitting and chit-chatting at 11 o'clock at night with the kids hanging around with their mobile phones. What nonsense is this?
Rama, thank you so much for your call and for offering those thoughts. And I think there is a big push from the messages that we're receiving regarding the responsibility of parents. So, for example, Eric says, curfew is not the answer. Parents need to play the role of parents and not let society take care of their kids. Longer school-related activity hours could be a solution.
And I think that was what our caller earlier suggested as well. Sorry, rather Pasu, our expert caller. And I think there is some traction to that idea, because I do think that perhaps we need to make schools feel more like a space that belongs to children. Because at the moment, it's always like, okay, it's after school hours, you can't stay here. Oh, you want to use the basketball court or football field after 1 p.m.? You have to ask for permission, but I don't think you necessarily need that all the time.
And perhaps, again, if we're going to be looking into recreational spaces and activities, a good way to go about it in order really to save money, since we are all about that, is also to look at the spaces that already exist, right? Schools being a major one. They are made to accommodate lots of children. They are made to create spaces for learning. And right now, yeah, they don't always feel like they belong to the students who go there. So perhaps a revamping and looking at what might be possible to achieve in those spaces, whether it's on a weekday night or whether it's on a weekend afternoons, you know, times like that when people are at a bit of a loose end, maybe you don't want to go home, maybe home is not a safe space, just creating those opportunities I think would be good.
And maybe, you know, going back to the ideas of collaboration between schools, governments and parents, right? Perhaps, you know, you don't always have to have a teacher there as the one that is watching over the kids. They're using the space after school. It could be a grandparent. It could be someone who, you know, otherwise is not working, and then they could just volunteer at those schools too.
Misa says, don't shift the responsibility of parents to school or government. First, we need to know the root causes of the mishaps or the misadventures of children and teenagers. And I think as far as before we start instating programs, I think understanding what is actually going on is important. Here, though, I do think some research has been done.
I think so. Well, partially it's because they just don't have spaces of their own that they can play, that they can just relax and that they can use to, you know, read or whatever. But also, I think it has to do with the fact that we don't have these activities and kids here are just bored.
Let us know what you think. Would curfews work, you know, to keep kids out of trouble? Should the government invest in creating these recreational spaces as has been proposed? And what should those spaces look like? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, you are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin, and we're discussing, it's a bit of a mixed bag in terms of a proposal. So we heard earlier this year that, look, maybe in order to keep our kids off the streets and out of trouble, we should think about doing a curfew. Since then, that's been shelved. It might emerge as a pilot project, not sure. But the ministry the Ministry of Women, Family and Community Development is looking at working with the Ministry of Youth and Sports to create recreational facilities to give to give kids, I guess, safe spaces outside of home, outside of school, and really outside of mamaks and malls.
Yeah, because the minister did say that, you know, the curfew is maybe just one small strategy in the whole game plan, which includes recreational centres as one example.
So we've been asking you, do you think that would work? Curfew or recreational facilities, first thing. Secondly, when we're looking at these recreational facilities and programs, what should they look like? Yeah. What's actually going to help? 7733 2900 is that number to call. And 018-789-8899 is the number to WhatsApp. And you can, of course, always tweet us at BFM Radio.
So for a message here from Arul Hisham, who says that mamak shops and night spots should close by 1 a.m. If there's no place for these people to go to, then it will reduce loitering.
It's been a while since I was a mamak loitering kid, but if recollection serves, I think, you know what? If you're hanging out with your friends, it doesn't have to be a mamak. A longkang will do.
Yeah. And,
you
know, so, it can be right outside a closed mamak, right?
That's the thing. So I think that it's important to give people spaces to go to still.
Yeah, because essentially they're just bored. They just want things to do. And if we give them fun activities to do and they feel like they belong to a group, I think there's a lot to that. And there's so many skills they can learn.
Adnan, meanwhile, says, I think from my point of view, the bond must be stronger between the mother and the kids. So we must allow the mother to work half day so that they can spend time with kids. And then they can understand kids and teach them and explain to them what's the future like and guide them so we don't fall into these kinds of problems.
Are we missing one parent from this picture here?
I feel
should the father
so.
Be taking half day?
Yes. I mean, I do think that the spirit of, you know, having a stronger bond between parent and child is crucial.
Yes.
And most people would love the privilege of time to be able to do that. Lots and lots of people work such long hours that they don't see their kids in that sense. But I agree that if we're going to say mother, fathers also, you know, flexible working arrangements should be working both ways in that sense.
And drawing on this point, actually, to be fair, I think it's like, sure, working half day, but then I guess the salary needs to meet that too, so that they don't have to be working two jobs. Two half-day jobs, eventually you're just going to take up the whole day still.
Emma says, a black and white, you know, kind of answer isn't going to solve or resolve social problems. People are still getting raped, even though there's a law. A curfew is just another easy way out. And up next, we've got this message that's come through from Shamila.
So a couple of points. Curfews cannot be the means and ends. It must be part of a larger initiative. If curfews are imposed, children will have to be at home. This is a gross presumption that a home is a safe space for children.
Which is what we were trying to get at earlier.
Yeah, so often children are out on the streets at night because they're likely to suffer abuse and violence at home. There need to be more safe areas where children can be engaged in meaningful supervised activity, sports, culture, so on. But we must ensure child protection policies are applied in a space and the space is safe.
Those are just excellent points. And I think that's where the resources are also going to be crucial, right? Because it's one thing to create the space. Another thing is, who's going to work there? Are we going to do the proper screening to ensure that when we say safe space, we mean safe space? We also have this from Kyril, who says, increase people's income. Many B40 parents have to moonlight, working part-time elsewhere, selling burgers, operating food stalls, grab driving at night to make ends meet. They have no time to look after their children. Thanks for that, Kyril.
And that's why sometimes also you see kids at these places, right? Because they're trying to manage both working and also taking care of their kids at the same time. We have a next message here from CY, who says that I think that more recreational parks, gardens should be available not just throughout the day, but throughout the night and safe to be used at night as well. For example, in Korea, there's many recreational parks and gardens available in the night. Many family people and even elderly people would take their time out to exercise after dinner time to also stretch out to late night. These night parks are also equipped with CCTV surveillance, music, proper lighting and landscaping. Honestly, other than malls and gyms, there's really not many night parks that make us feel safe to spend time in, especially after school, work, and that's the only time we have.
It's true that if you have been to these parks abroad, whether you're talking about Korea or Hong Kong or Japan, it is tremendously different, you guys. The lights, just the mere fact that there are lights and that there are therefore also other people out in the park with you, it makes such a huge difference. I wouldn't even feel safe walking in my neighborhood playground, you know, after 11 when the lights go off, simply because I won't see someone coming.
Yeah, and it's also the ways in which you can use that space, right? Because I think in my short trip to Vietnam, I saw that they could just really do whatever they want with that space. They could have a picnic at night. They could have, they could be playing board games in the middle of the, in the middle of the park. And that's, you know, something that sometimes guards chase you away from doing.
Amar Singh says, first of all, we should have a firm DPM, not flip-flopping with half-baked ideas. Secondly, curfew's fine, but targeted areas. Imagine curfews at villages, it doesn't make sense. So with the pilot project, they are looking into having it only be in specific spots. So I guess
where crime is more common.
Yes, I think where there's perhaps more... And the word they used, I think, was vice. So yeah. Perhaps more vice. And next we have this that came through from Abi Iris.
So in my opinion, I think curfew is good enough. The government is already caught up with so many things. As you know, we already have recreational centres, but what's the point where they don't make use of it? The government does play a role in a child's life through education and institutes like schools and colleges. The rest is up to the parents to nurture their kids. It's not a 100% result, but it can curb such issues one day. I also disagree about extending the school hours. Think about teachers with families. They have commitments not only to families, but to students as well. They too need their own private time. I'm a university student and I rely on my parents, which is good enough.
And then Zen says, I have a friend who's a dungeon master that runs a Dungeons and Dragons campaign for my gang, and he's been approached by a politician to create a new form of recreational environment. And this, of course, can be organized in the comfort of one's home. It's super fun, especially among friends or even in a classroom, and board games as well. It's great fun, and it's a great way to hone the brain. And I think Dungeons and Dragons is interesting because that's also been used abroad, and specifically in this context too. And part of it, I think, is the affordability of it.
Yeah, but also, to the point of it being in a home, I think then perhaps those recreational spaces could be used to play D&D, right?
Yes, that's true. Lepanda is back to say, here's another idea. Bring back Rakan Muda. Bring the activities down to the grassroots, engage the kids, ask them what they want. Like it or not, every school generation has those few cool kids that every kid wants to be. I was not that kid. When I was in high school in the 90s, Rakan Muda was first introduced. I had absolutely no interest in martial arts. But then that one cool kid was in Taekwondo. So you'll be surprised how many kids join just to say, hey, I'm in Taekwondo, just like that cool kid. Peer pressure.
Our next message here comes from Mrs. Chan. All elected representatives should allocate part of their funds towards recreational and community activity centres. Work with schools and facilities in the areas to organise regular games, competitions and friendly games. We might find stars to boost our national teams.
Meanwhile, Devi says, we spend years studying to be professionals. Children are the most complex organisms, in my opinion. Why do we not do parenting courses as a compulsory measure? It would go a long way. And it would help better parents, children, country and the world, all the more important now.
I actually like the idea of having parenting courses because it's one of those adulting things that you never seem to be able to grasp or you never really get the right knowledge of.
Yes, and everybody is, I think, busy figuring it out in their own time, in their own way and making their own mistakes. And even with a course, you would still see that.
Yes.
But I think at least having a base measure might help.
Yeah. So our next message here comes from Az, who says that, yes, true, bonds or family is the most important factor, supplemented with healthy facilities for them to spend time, no matter with curfew. The naughty kids will definitely find ways to Jalankan project only when with parents they will be scared to play around.
And going back to Kyrol's message earlier then about increasing income, I think that's really the thing that is at the root of everything, because fundamentally, I don't think it is that parents want to abscond, and just do away with the responsibility of being a parent. In many cases, I think the understanding here is that the responsibility of being a parent is feeding your child.
Yes.
And part of feeding your child is earning enough money to do so. And to do that, you can't spend enough time with your kid. It's a difficult situation, but to ignore the income problem would also be just terribly wrong.
Yeah, because in this case, it is related to class, right? Maybe people with from impoverished communities, they don't have access to television, they don't have access to internet, because that all costs a lot of money to compared to their budgets, right?
In closing, Ong says, kids' problems are everywhere. In the US, drugs, alcohol, guns, more serious than here, but no one thought of curfews. China has records of human rights abuse, but they didn't do curfews. Actually, I'm not sure about that. Root cause of problems. If the issues of high costs of living are resolved, many byproducts naturally disappear. So, the quality of policy in this country is a problem as well. They only like to address problems on the surface. You can keep those messages coming. We are also going to be headed to the news. It's the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.